May these words from Deuteronomy prepare us for the sermon that will be delivered today from Matt. Give ear, O heavens, and I will speak. Let the earth hear the words of my mouth. May my teaching drop like the rain, my speech condense like the dew, like gentle rain on grass, like showers on new growth. For I will proclaim the name of the Lord, ascribe greatness to our God.
If we ever needed the Lord before. John didn't mention anything about whether or not that applied to the guest speaker this morning. I'm sure that if each of us considers our past, we can all recall an example or two of a few great teachers, mentors, or advisors, and how they managed to make a huge and lasting impact on our lives. What traits and characteristics did that individual or group of individuals have that enabled them to have such a lasting impact on the trajectory of our lives, whether it be in our academic and professional careers or in our faith journeys? As I consider my own journey, the most influential people in my life have several things in common. I'm not a gambling man, but I would wager the last of the hair on my head that those that have impacted each one of you likely have similar traits and gifts. First, they have the ability to identify one's inner potential and then move to inspire and encourage the fulfillment of that unknown or unrealized potential and individual purpose. Often, they manage to accomplish this in spite of a poor self-image or a rebellious nature that stems from pride, complacency, or fear. Second, they are true believers in the cause or truth they espouse, bearing confidence and conviction in the knowledge, wisdom, skills, or truth they have to offer. That is essential and worth sharing. Third, they seek to create a safe space where the vulnerabilities, mistakes, and failures of others are not harshly judged or criticized, but are highlighted as an opportunity for new growth and development. And finally, they are courageous people, committed to being honest, plainly speaking the hard truths and demanding honest answers of us for life's tough questions, even when it is unpopular, uncomfortable, or even unsafe to do so. Interestingly, these are also characteristics that we often attribute to dedicated and loving friends. As we consider our New and Old Testament scriptures for today, each highlights a great teacher, leader, and mentor whose teaching and instruction in the scriptures share some common themes and provide some very important lessons for us today. We will focus namely on the Old Testament reading, but let's first highlight a few lessons from Jesus' life and the passages of John 14 in its context. As we know from the scriptures, Jesus was often addressed by the title of Rabbi, which means teacher. During his life and ministry, he was known for his preaching and teaching, revealing the word and new covenant of God. Jesus' actions and deeds demonstrated time and time again his love and acceptance of all people and his faithful conviction that God's will must prevail. Basically, we do not have to dig too deeply into the scriptures to see Christ as a dedicated teacher and living example of God's word and will for righteous living. Because of Jesus' humble and peaceful, perhaps even meek, nature, we do not often talk about or view Jesus as a courageous figure, however. This characteristic is most often reserved for soldiers who willingly face the mortal violence and danger of battle, or public servants who selflessly risk their lives to protect our life from safety and harm. But in the context of John 14, we find Jesus on the eve of his arrest in the garden, fully aware of God's will for his fast approaching mortality. And what do we find him doing? What is he busy doing? He's actively preparing his disciples for the time to come when he will no longer be with them, demonstrating that his love and concern for their well-being is more important to him than his own desire to escape the coming cross. Jesus patiently instructs and reminds his disciples that their love for him should show in their obedience to his teaching and commands. One last short sermon and call to follow him. He also offers them the assurance that they will not have to go it alone, that the Holy Spirit, the great counselor, comforter, and advisor, We'll continue to encourage them and teach them all things when Jesus is no longer physically present in the world to lead and guide them day to day. He promises that he will never abandon them. This covenant and Jesus' living example of faithfulness and love are motivated by God's love for all people. With a stolid courage, he places the needs, comfort, and well-being of his disciples above that of his own. We do not see Jesus running around in dramatic and frantic despair with a woe is me attitude. We see him intently focused on his priorities and his mission, courageously trusting in God and serving others even as he faces his own excruciating death. His courage is easily missed in the larger narrative, and yet is so central to describing his trusting and obedient relationship with God, and is vital to understanding who he is, who he was and is, and the living example he provides us still. Let's now step back in time to the days of good old Moses and focus on the Old Testament reading for today. Deuteronomy 32, 1-3, consists of the first verses of the Song of Moses, a brief 43-verse lyrical history of the people of Israel and Moses' final public address. In it, he reminds the people of their past mistakes, and we witness his last-ditch effort to turn the people towards God, calling them and future generations to avoid the wrath and fury of God by avoiding the repetition of those mistakes again and again in the future. The song also alludes to a true hope that can only come from trusting in the Lord and not from other gods or worldly things. This is all pretty good stuff. Meat and potatoes kinds of teaching, the fundamentals. In fact, right off the bat, Moses likens his teaching to life-giving water that stems new growth. Certainly, this offers many spiritual truths and fundamental elements of what a strong and active faith is, or is like and contains, obedience, repentance, and trust. And these lessons should not be taken lightly or for granted. But if we dig deeper into the broader context of the story, however, we can not only learn from Moses' lyrical witness, but from his own life, his actions, and demonstrated faithfulness to God and his community. You got to remember, at this point in the wilderness narrative, Moses is 120 years old. And he and his stubborn and rebellious followers had been wandering the desert for nearly 40 long years of trials, despair, and God's continual provision despite Israel's lack of faith. It is worth noting that Moses spent a great deal of time repeating himself and focusing on the basics, the fundamentals, because the people just weren't getting it. They weren't listening. Their hearts were hardened, and they ran to every opportunity to fall on their face in disobedience and lack of faith. So at this point, Moses and the people of Israel are finally approaching the promised land. They're almost there, which, by the way, Moses knows he will not be entering. If you recall, way back in Numbers chapter 20, Moses was informed by God that he would not enter the land of milk and honey because of a seemingly minor disobedience, perhaps even a mistake. He struck a rock with his staff to call forth water in the desert as opposed to speaking it, as commanded by God. For this small and seemingly trivial mistake, he has known for a long, long time that he will not personally experience the end to the trials and tribulations of living out of a suitcase while doing his best to herd his stubborn, misguided, and miserable companions. What a downer. Moses spent 40 years faithfully preaching and teaching to a seemingly lost and rebellious people, probably feeling a bit like his efforts were futile, his words falling on deaf ears, knowing that the people get the prize while he gets punished. Imagine the despair and bitterness that so easily could have set in on Moses. He was charged by God to lead the hard-hearted and constantly disobedient Israelites into the promised land from which he, a faithful and godly man, was already living in exile. What on earth did Moses have that allowed him to remain so committed despite his harsh punishment from the Lord and the lack of results to all his years of teaching and instruction? Most logical people would have thrown up their hands and walked away, frustrated, bitter, and resentful of God and his plan years before, burn out from constant disappointment. It is not explicitly stated in the scripture, but we can observe Moses' courage that comes from his knowledge of God. Moses loved the Lord and placed his faith and trust in him, totally surrendering to his will and plan. His courage was the result of his deep albeit tenuous, relationship with God. In fact, Moses was the only person who saw God face to face. Could you imagine walking outside today and literally facing God? Tell me that didn't take some courage. Moses was God's chosen leader and teacher and was open to God's instruction and will for his life. He humbly accepted God's harsh reprimand, but moved forward obediently, without bitterness, and with full trust in the Lord. If he held any resentment whatsoever, it did not appear to be highlighted by the author, and it certainly did not lead to a loss of faith or turning away from God and his will, though again, I'm sure, this took great courage. Moses remained actively engaged in his relationship with God, pursuing him and responding to being pursued. Moses' actions and living example speak volumes. Despite Israel's constant rebellion and the heartache the people caused him, Moses clearly loved the people and remained dedicated to their physical and spiritual well-being, and despite his own frustrating and confounding experience. Even after being told of his pending death by God, and seeing a brief glimpse, teasing him, of the land he would not enter, even after remaining faithful to God and the people for all those years, Moses continued to obey God by composing one final message, a song that would serve as a witness to the people for generations and remind them to remain faithful and obedient or else face the consequences. This was likely an unpopular and difficult message to deliver, particularly while he may have been a little distracted about his pending death. With Moses about to die, the lost people had one last valuable lesson to learn. After wandering around homeless, with few possessions, and receiving food and water only by God's provision for a full generation, God wanted them and us to realize that they should live a life wholly dependent on God and God alone. Not upon themselves, their families, their leaders, or their possessions. This takes the same focus, attention, trust, and courage our teachers have demonstrated us through their living examples in our scriptures. Each week during our Vital Ministry Journey session, we are asked to identify what a passage or Bible story invites us to do, be, or change. There is a lesson even in the question, because it invites us and inspires action and enables the inner and outer dialogue to take place regarding how our faith and spiritual gifts should be exercised in the faith community and in the world. I encourage all of you, individually, collectively, to ask these very questions of ourselves and our faith community more frequently. If we follow through, we just may come to a better understanding of what it is that our faith and relationship with a living God invites us to do, be, or change. This will take some real courage and persistence. It will take love and patience. It is a daunting and never-ending task to discern God's will for our lives. It's not always black and white as to what roles our faith and spiritual gifts should play in the faith community and in the chaotic world around us. And it can be difficult to find consensus about what all that means in the life, mission, and purpose of the church. But I suggest that we can and must find courage and assurance in the empowering promise of God's presence among us in the community of faith. Let us rely upon the Lord as the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit to intercede for us and guide us as a faith community, as the Lord continues to do a new thing within each of us, within our church, and within the world. In his recent article on the Repurposing Church, Pastor Chris writes the following about transforming the church on purpose. Instead of repurposing the church, we might want to focus our attention on the fundamental call of faith to be repurposed as disciples of Jesus. Change the focus, move the word order, reimagine the purpose, become again a fellowship of followers that helps one another reclaim and live into their calling as children of God. Rather than focusing on the church as the object of transformation, let's help people claim their purpose in Christ. As we show our appreciation for our dedicated and courageous teachers and leaders that offer their time, talents, and spiritual gifts in the service of our family of faith, May we remember our own call and responsibility to act and live as both students and teachers in the community, actively claiming our purpose in Christ, uncovering potential spiritual gifts, and drawing people into a community and communion with God, each as our spiritual gifts allow. For if we do not help others experience the knowledge of Christ and encounter a true relationship with Him, who will? We are called to be God's love in the world, allowing our light to shine brightly in the darkness and living as the salt of the earth. Our challenge is to have the faith and courage to discover what exactly that means for each one of us. What is it that God invites you to do, be, or change? Perhaps we should ask Him. Amen.